table of thanksgiving or Eucharisto. Now, if I were to ask my Reformed Roman Catholic friends out there what the Eucharist is, what would you say? Yes, right? The little wafer, the little disc that we received when we took communion. And you would be right. However, did you ever really think about what the name Eucharist means? Michelle and I are going through this book, and it's called 1,000 Gifts. It's by Anne Volkskamp. And in one of the chapters entitled, A Word to Live and Die By, she discusses exactly this. Now, the word Eucharist in its original language is Eucharisto, which means he gave thanks. When Jesus celebrated the Lord's Supper, what did he do? He broke the bread and he gave thanks, right? We see this in Luke 22:19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You know, we just celebrated communion last Sunday, and I described the bread or the cracker that we had there, and I focused only on the sacrifice which it represented. However, here we see Jesus giving thanks. He gave thanks. Now, I believe at first we might hear this and think, thankful? You're about to be beaten, whipped, scourged, mocked, carry the very instrument of your death up to the hill on Golgotha, and then ultimately nailed to the very cross that you just carried. And you're giving thanks? But that wasn't Jesus' focus, was it? I believe he was enjoying this last meal that he was having with his apostles. I mean, isn't there something always special about coming together and enjoying a dessert or a meal together, right? I believe Jesus was enjoying the fact that this ceremony, this dinner, this ritual would be something that people would continue to do for thousands upon thousands of years. Don't you wish you had a legacy like that? I'm just happy when you guys don't fall asleep on Sunday service. He gave thanks. He gave thanks. You know, I'm thankful. I believe he was giving thanks because, you know, even just the simplest, the fact that he had bread, he had wine, they had a meal together, and he was giving thanks for that. And lastly, I believe that he was giving thanks because of his sacrifice. Because of his sacrifice, all God's children would be with him eternally in heaven. You see, even in the face of adversity, what lied ahead, Jesus still gave thanks. Now, the root word of Eucharisto is charis, and it means grace. Is there anyone here who needs more grace in their lives? Yes and amen, right? Grace, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. But Adam, you don't know the trouble that I'm going through. Do you have a thorn in your side? Paul did. Now, we don't know exactly what that was. There were many that speculated that it might have been a problem with his vision, or because he had so many write some of his epistles, that it was a pain or problems with his hands. And not that he didn't ask God to take away these challenges either. In 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, it states, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, just like Christ, it would have been easy for Paul to go ahead and whine and complain about his infirmities. Instead, he takes pleasure. He gives thanks. He takes joy in Christ's sake. And I think this is a major part of the joy that so many of us miss. And we're going to discuss joy in just a few. But when we take our focus off of self and put it where the attention should truly be, on Jesus Christ, there is an unspeakable joy that is unsurpassable. But what does the Lord tell us? He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Jesus took the bread. He saw it as grace and gave thanks. He took the bread and he knew it to be a gift and gave thanks. But there's more. Because as we read Eucharisto, thanksgiving, yes, there is the Greek word for grace, charis, but there is also the derivative of that Greek word, chara, which means joy. Are you needing some of that tonight? Augustine stated, "Without expression, all try their hardest to reach the same goal. That is joy." Now, a few weeks ago, I told you that if you Googled the Bible and put in the word happy, do you remember how many times it would come up in Scripture? Twice. That's it. But if you Google the word joy, how many times do you think that comes up? 158 in 150 lines of Scripture. Ezra 6:16. "Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the descendants of the captivity celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy." Nehemiah 12:34. "Also, that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off." Job 8:19. "Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth others will grow." Psalm 32:11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Luke 2:10. "Then the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" John 15:11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And Acts 13:52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." And I can go on and on and on with the Scripture that have joy inside of it. But do you see it? Do you see the thread throughout each one of these Scriptures that I just read? So what's the difference between being happy and having joy? Happiness, 2 lines of Scripture. Joy, 150 lines. Our joy comes from the Lord. We can be happy that we just got a new dress, a new car, a new house. But you know what? That dress is going to go out of style. That car is going to be replaced with a new model with more bells and whistles on it. The house is going to become dilapidated and old and start falling apart. But the joy of the Lord, that goes on from everlasting to everlasting. So where can you seize this holy grail of joy? That deep chara joy is found only at the table of Eucharisto, the table of thanksgiving. Is the height of our joy, our chara, dependent on the depths of the Eucharisto or thanks? So then, as long as thanks is possible, then joy is always possible. Let me read that to you again. As long as thanks is possible, then joy is always possible. Joy is always possible whenever? Meaning like now and here? See, joy isn't just some mountaintop experience. The joy can be right here, right now. The joy might even be unbelievably possible. The only place we need to see before we die is this place of seeing God here and now. Here's the truth, precious people. Charis, grace, Eucharisto, thanksgiving, chara, joy. The Holy Trinity of happiness. A triplet of stars in a constellation of black. The threefold cord that might hold this very secret to life. Grace, thanksgiving, and joy. Eucharisto. A Greek word that might make meaning of everything. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask Terry to come on back up. He's just going to go ahead and play some instrumental music. And as we do, I'd like each and every one of us to think about the Eucharisto in your own lives. Where is it that you find joy? Where is it that you find thanksgiving? We're about to celebrate Thanksgiving tomorrow. And it's something that when we look back at all the hardships, all the challenges that the pilgrims went through in order to come to this, and what was really the birth of this amazing nation. And you look at those challenges. You look at the disease, the winter, the famine. I mean, all of those things. Losing more than half of those original people that set out on the Mayflower. I almost said the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. But you look at that, and what do? They give thanks to God. So right here, right now, with some music in the background, what I'd like for each and every one of us is to take a moment, think on that. And then I would love for you guys to share. Just, you don't have to stand up. You don't have to come up on stage. We're not going to give a mic to you or anything like that. But what is it that you're thankful for? Because you know what? We can sit there and we can get wrapped up in ourselves. We can get wrapped up in the misery. We can look at our economy. We can look at the gas stations that we have to pump our gas in and everything like that, right? But are we thankful for the heart that beats inside of us? Because God allows it to. Are we thankful for the lungs that fill with breath? Are we thankful for a God who gives us not just enough air that would fill our lungs, but he's a God of abundance. He doesn't give us just a little bit of sunshine. He gives us this amazing bright disc glowing in the sky. There are really so many things to be thankful for. So along those lines, with the music in the background, just one by one, stand up or blurt out what it is that you're thankful for. And then I'll go ahead and close this night with some prayer.